Okay. I had an aunt, her name was Jane Mitchell. She pastored this lodge several years ago, but in the church there in Fort Worth, Church of Christ, she was a pillar. She knew more Bible than most preachers who came to preach. And in fact, she one time called me and said, "I should have been a man, so I'd be a preacher." I began to realize that was true. But one thing she used to say to me all the time, she would say, "Dennis, do you know 1 Corinthians 15:33? I said, "Yes." She said, "You know, evil compassion corrupt good morals." I said, "You sound like my friends." And she said, "No, the Bible says, it says the evil companionship corrupts good morals. Good habits," when your translation say. And I said, "Well, but you don't like my friends." And she said, "It's not a matter of like your friends or not. It's what your friends are going to do to you, whether you realize it or not." Now, this lesson tonight is one of those lessons from the Old Testament. Now, I love the Old Testament. A lot of people don't understand, or at least they don't think the Old Testament really has anything to do with us, but it actually does a great deal. In fact, if you're turning your Bible to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, turn 1 Corinthians 10 and read the 6th and the 11th verses with me. "Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." 1 Corinthians 10 verse 11. "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition," that is for our warning upon whom the end of the ages have come. "Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." It's easy to beat up on the Old Testament characters, but it's another, if you will, to take a lesson from what happened to them and take it to heart as a Christian and carry out in your life the thing that is right. One of the beefs I have, or have had for a long time in this, is that people, when they preach, sometimes they'll say, "Well, you know that story back over there?" It's not a story, Reverend. It's an account. The Old Testament is an account. These people really lived. They were alive. And there was a time when they had as much problems in their lives as we find in our own. And they were living, breathing people. And they had to make choices. And sometimes the choices were very harsh. And it's very hard. And they had to choose between friends, and between lovers, and between things they liked and things they wanted to do, and they weren't able to do it because they were going to serve the Lord. They made a choice. Should you help the wicked? Love those that hate the Lord? Should you do that? Let's try again. 2 Chronicles 19:1-2, was just read. But this is an account, not a story, that just said, what was Jehoshaphat doing in the house of Ahab? That is the question. But someone says, "Well, what's that got to do with me?" Well, a great deal. Great deal. Because as we continue in this, and I want you to stay with me, first we have to ask the question, who is Jehoshaphat? Well, Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. So turn to 2 Chronicles, the 17th chapter, and read the first 6 verses. 2 Chronicles 17, verse 1 through 6. I'll try not to be too tedious for this, but I want you to get the full impact of the account that is written here. In 2 Chronicles 17, verses 1 through 6, "Then Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his place and strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed troops in all the fortified cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa, his father, had taken. Now the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the former ways of his father David, and he did not seek the Baals, but sought the God of his father, and walked in his commandments, and not according to the acts of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah gave presents to Jehoshaphat, and he had riches and honor in abundance. And his heart took delight in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he removed the high places and wooden images from Judah." Really a good, good story, isn't it? That's really good. Jehoshaphat was great. Like his father Asa, who was a very good man, a man who loved the Lord, a king who loved the Lord, so did Jehoshaphat. Down here in the 9th and 10th verses, "So they taught in Judah," that is the priest that he sent out, "they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them. They went throughout all the cities of Judea and taught the people. And the fear of the Lord fell on all the kingdoms of the land that were around Judah, so that they did not make war against Jehoshaphat." In fact, 11th verse says, "And also some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents and silver as tribute, and the Arabians brought in flock, 7,700 rams and 7,700 male goats." But in the 14th verse here, these are their numbers, that is the armies of Jehoshaphat, the armies of the Lord, actually, according to their fathers' houses, of Judah. It says the captain of thousands, Abner the captain, and with him 300,000 mighty men of valor. Next to him was Jehohanan the captain, and with him 280,000. Next to him was Amasa the son of Zichri, who willingly offered himself to the Lord, and with him 200,000 mighty men of valor. Then he says of Benjamin, Eliab, a mighty man of valor, when with his 200,000 men armed with bow and shield, and next to him was Jehozabad, and with him 180,000 prepared for war, and these served the king, besides those that the king put in the fortified cities throughout all of Judah. Do you know what it says in the 17th chapter, 2 Chronicles, the first verse? I read it really fast. Let's go back and look at it. It says that Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his place and strengthened himself against Israel. Against Israel. Standing army of 1,160,000 fighting soldiers stood at the command of Jehoshaphat against Israel. Now, it just so happens, which you're about to find out, if you don't know this already, that the king of Israel at the time just happened to be none other than Ahab. And, of course, his wife, Jezebel. And I guess you know something about Jezebel. Well, at least you know something about Ahab. Anyway, at least you ought to. As a student of the Old Testament, student of the Bible. But in any event, I want you to get it clearly set in your mind that Jehoshaphat was blessed with the Lord. And he had a standing army of tremendous power. And he had no reason to ever fear Israel. He had no reason at all. No, he didn't. God had given him peace on every side, and especially with Israel. Well, do we realize today how secure Jehoshaphat was in the armies of Israel? That is, Ahab and Jezebel. Do you realize how secure he was? But was he safe? Watch this. But was he safe from their religious influence or their religious intolerance for God? Was he safe from that? That's the question. You see, the lesson tonight is simply this. We are blessed with the Word of God. We are blessed with the knowledge of the Lord. We have understanding that the world doesn't have. We are armed for an excellent song we just sang. Soldiers of Christ arrive. We are armed, brethren. Yeah, that's the middle verse in that song that says, put on the panoply of God, the panoply, the whole armor of God, the whole armament. Do you understand we as Christians are armed to the teeth in reality? We are armed to fight the devil. We are armed to fight everything out there except for religious tolerance. And we've got problems, brethren, in the church. We got problems. Because people, they say, well, why do we have to be so harsh? Why do you have to be so negative? Why do you have to be this? Why can't we just all get along? I mean, why can't we? Because I can't get along with the devil. For the devil hates God. And I love God. And the devil hates me. And you know what? He hates you too. The devil hates everyone that would stand up against him who would stand up for the Lord. And so it is that we are armed, definitely armed with the truth. Well, let's move on. What did Jehoshaphat do? That he got rebuked the way we just read. Did Jehoshaphat have to make a deal with Ahab, the devil? No, but look at 1 Kings. Turn over here to 1 Kings, the 21st chapter. Let's read a little bit about Ahab. Don't take my word for it. Let's look what the Bible said about old Ahab. In 1 Kings, the 21st chapter. Looking here, if you will, 1 Kings 21 and the 25th verse. 25th verse says, 26th verse, but there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord, because Jezebel his wife stirred him up, and he behaved very abominably in following idols according to all that the Amorites had done, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. Yes, did Jehoshaphat have to make a deal with a guy like that? No. He had nothing to do with a guy like that. Nothing. He was blessed of the Lord because he sought the Lord. He sought the things of the Lord, and he had nothing to do with Ahab. And yet, we also learn in 1 Kings 16, go back to 16th chapter, 1 Kings 16, verse 29 through 33, says, in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab the son of Omri became king over Israel, and Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel and Samaria 22 years. I'm in the 30th verse now of the 16th chapter, 1 Kings. 1 Kings 16, verse 30. Now Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. And it came to pass, as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, a son of Nebat, that he took as wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ahab, Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and he went and served Baal and worshipped him. Then he set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a wooden image. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. Now, I'll tell you something about this. You've got on the right hand, my right, you have on the right hand, you've got a Jehoshaphat who has in fact stood up for the Lord, blessed by the Lord. Okay, on the left side, you've got an Ahab, and he hates God, and he's done everything possible to be insulting, in fact, to take God worship out of Israel. He's done the same thing that Jeroboam did. Well, I know who Rehoboam and Jeroboam is. Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, and of course, Jeroboam, the servant, but also who had the 10 tribes that were given to him and his kingdom, who, by the way, set up the calf worship in Dan and Bethel so that the Israelites wouldn't have to go back to Jerusalem to worship God. But they had their, and the way he sealed the deal was he took and appointed priests out of the people, so it was a kind of a homeboy deal. And that way, everybody feels more comfortable about just going down and up. But that's all, it's convenience. And you know how people are about convenience. When it comes to God and convenience, well, you know, it wasn't convenience. And I know how that works, and so do you. And that's not right, but we see how it is. So, okay, so we get to Ahab, we know he's a bad guy, and he's a bad guy, okay. Yeah, and Joshua, he's a good guy, he's a real good guy, okay. That's good. So in 2 Chronicles, the 18th chapter, let's make a deal. Let's make a deal. Wow. 2 Chronicles 18, verse 1 through 3. You'll start right there. Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance. Are you with me? 2 Chronicles 18, verse 1. Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance. And by marriage, he allied himself with Ahab. You hear what it says? He had abundance, he had honor, he had riches. God gave him a standing army, at least a million, over a million men to stand against Israel. He strengthened himself against Israel. And yet, in the 18th chapter of 2 Chronicles, in the first verse, Jehoshaphat had riches and honor and abundance, and made by marriage, he allied himself with Ahab. And after some years, he went down to visit Ahab in Samaria. Because, you know, years passed, and these bad people, all of a sudden, they don't look quite as bad. You ever notice how that works? I mean, a little time passed, they don't look quite as bad as they used to. You know, I don't know if we changed, but that's how people are. That's how people are. Well, I know they're bad, but they got some good qualities, don't they? No, not in Ahab's case. No, I don't think so. And after some years, he went down to visit Ahab in Samaria, and Ahab killed sheep and oxen in abundance for him, that is for Jehoshaphat, and the people who were with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth-Gilead. So Ahab, king of Israel, said to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, will you go with me against Ramoth-Gilead? And he answered him, Jehoshaphat answered Ahab, I am as you are, and my people as your people, we will be with you in the war. You know, I have stood publicly against abortion. I make no bones about that. I don't apologize for it. I've stood privately, publicly, and otherwise. And with me in those places, there were Catholics that stood right beside me and said the same thing, but we weren't friends. And we were on the same page. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? We agree that abortion is wrong, but it didn't make Catholic right. And what he believes, what she believes. Don't you understand that? You say, well, then, Dennis, why do you stand up with people like that? Well, they stood up with me. I don't think of it that way. But in any event, though, do you see what I'm saying to you? We make alliances, brethren, that we need to be careful about. We need to examine and be very careful about the alliances that we make, the friends that we make, because they will influence us as much as we think we influence them. There is a powerful, powerful force in Satan. And he works through people to get you. Yes, you. And he'll lie, and he'll cheat, and he'll do anything he can to get your mind to come around to say, well, they're not really that bad. They're not that bad. I mean, they got some really good qualities. Hey, I know a lot of people have great qualities, but they thumb their nose at God. They don't love the Lord. They don't love His Word. Yes, they even have some morality about this. Wonderful. But brethren, they are unrighteous. They do not, if you will, they do not submit themselves to the righteousness of God. They thumb their nose at God. And that's one of the problems that we find here, because here we have Jehoshaphat in the house of Ahab, and Ahab is asking, and the first thing he says to him, well, I'm as you are, and my people are your people. We'll be with you in the war. We're going to go. And as God, and also Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, watch for first. You'll like this one. Also Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, please inquire for the word of the Lord today. That would be about like you going into a bar, although I'm not recommending that, and asking them if they're going to have a word of prayer before they pass out all the drinks and everybody starts drinking. Oh, wait a minute, everybody don't have drinks. We're going to have prayer first. Well, wait a minute. You think that's going to happen? Hello? What's wrong with that picture? You say, well, that's pretty naive. Well, yeah, it really is, isn't it? Because they are the world, and they love the things of the world. And you're a Christian, and you're supposed to love the things of the Lord, but you find yourself in a place you shouldn't be. And Christians find themselves there pretty quickly. Also, Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, please inquire for the word of the Lord today. And, you know, it sounded to me like Jehoshaphat should have been inquiring of the Lord today. But he said, you do it. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, 400 men. Now, wait a minute. Did you think they were prophets of God? You already know that's not true. You know that he's a Baal worshiper. You know exactly who they are. Well, you remember. You remember back there with Elijah? Does you remember Elijah? There's a lot there back there, actually, that they have, we're talking about. And he's going to have a meeting with them up on Mount Carmel, and there's going to be some deaths. Yes, sir? He brings these 400 men and said to them, shall we go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or shall I refrain? So they said, go up, for God will deliver it into the king's hand. This is his prophets of Baal speaking to the king. But and just check out this sixth verse. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not still a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of him? Well, you getting a little squeamish there, Jehoshaphat? I mean, what's the problem? I mean, these are nice guys. I mean, it's 400, you know, prophets of Baal. I mean, everybody trusts them. They said a good thing. So we've got to consult God. So again, go in the same bar, this time take the Bible with you. Although I didn't say you couldn't do some good, perhaps, if they'll kick you out of here. But anyway, they'll kick you out. The thing about it is that now you want them to consult the Lord, and you want them to read the Bible, and they could care less about that because they're not about the Bible and they're not about the truth. But you know what? Somehow, Christians, unfortunately, they impress into these people some qualities that they do not have. And Jehoshaphat, and here he is, old Jehoshaphat, and he just says, well, now, wait a minute, don't you think you ought to, what's wrong? I mean, and that's what he's doing, because he's in the wrong place, with the wrong person. And he's come there with his belief in the Lord God, who's blessed him and blessed him and blessed him, and he wants Ahab to play by the rules that he follows himself, and Ahab doesn't follow those rules. And you know what? Ahab ain't going to change either. You got that? You know why? Because he loves Baal. He married Jezebel. Okay, let's move on. 7th verse of the 18th chapter of 2 Chronicles. So the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, that'd be Ahab, there is still one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord. But I hate him. I hate him. That doesn't sound very good, does it? Well, I know a preacher. Yeah, I know a preacher. He preaches the truth, but I hate him. He's mean and nasty. I said, well, he's not pretty mean and nasty to me, too. Oh, no, but I love him. I love everyone that doesn't agree with me. That doesn't contradict me, but everybody that contradicts me, they're in trouble. But you agree with me, oh, we love each other. Everything's good. Just good. Just real good. I mean, it's all good. I see. As you agree with me. So the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is still one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, because he never prophesied good concerning me, but always evil. He is Micaiah the son of Imla. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say such things. Well, why not? Well, why not? I went into you probably done the same thing, I guess. I went into a convenience store, and I was about to pay the bill there for some some gas I pumped, and this guy, he came out with a long list of some really bad words, and he asked for my license, and he saw that I was a preacher, and he went, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. Oh, that's horrible. I'm so sorry I said those things. And I said, well, I said, you know, I appreciate you being sorry about that, but it's really God you ought to be concerned about, and not me. I said, because I'm not the judge, but God Almighty is. He said, well, I'll remember that. Let's see. How long do you remember that? Let's see. 5 minutes. Well, let's talk out the door, man, anyway. He said, yes, you're just not a loving person. You just the best of people. You're ugly. Well, that may be true. I may be ugly, but you know, the thing about it is, though, I'm not stupid. I know better. I know how people live, and I know why they live that way, because they choose to live that way. Hello? They made a choice. And you know what? I made a choice too. And the choice I made sometimes will keep me far away from them. Well, not because I won't want to teach them, because they don't want to listen to what God has to say. You probably will say what Jesus has to say. No. They don't hear what God has to say. And so I can do two things with this friend that doesn't want to hear what God has to say. I can either walk away from them or I can defend them. Just like Jehoshaphat's doing. As we read this in the 18th chapter of 2 Chronicles. I hope you underline these verses, brethren. They are just as alive and real today as they've ever been. They truly are. Truly they are. But he always, But let not the king say such things. Then the king of Israel called one of his officers and said, bring Micaiah, the son of Imlah, quickly. The king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, clothed in their robes, sat each on his throne, and they sat at a threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them, that is, the prophets of Baal. Now Zedekiah, the son of Chenaiah, had made horns of iron for himself, and he said, thus says the Lord, with these you shall gore the Syrians until they are destroyed. And all the prophets prophesied, so saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the king's hand. And the messenger who had gone to call Micaiah spoke to him. They spoke to Micaiah. This is the 12th verse, saying, now listen, the words of the prophets with one accord encouraged the king. Therefore, please let your word be like the word of one of them, and speak encouragement. Please just speak encouragement. Don't go that negative way. Speak all the words of encouragement. Just gloss the thing over. Don't ever talk about sin or the people that are lost in sin. Now gloss it all over. Everybody's okay. You're okay. I'm okay. Preach that way, Dennis, because you don't, for sure I'm going to pay you. I mean, that job's going to work. Don't you get it? Therefore, please let your word be like the word of one of them, and speak encouragement. And Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, whatever my God says, that I will speak. And brother, that's how we're supposed to preach the gospel. Preach the word in season and out of season. Rebuke, exhort. But with all our stuff, yes, keep on stalling the things you don't want to hear. 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 and 3. Well, actually 2, verse 2 verses. And Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, whatever my God says, that I will speak. 14th verse. Then he came to the king, and the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I refrain? And he said, go and prosper, and thou shalt be delivered into, and they shall be delivered to your hand. And yet King Ahab said to him, how many times shall I make you swear that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? Are you catching this? Are you catching this? Then he said, and the king Ahab knew that if Micaiah spoke kindly, there was something wrong. You get that? He knew something was wrong. And you know, if I get up and preach too positively, people say, I have to stop waiting. I know it's too positive, but I'll try to be a little more negative. You know, it's sad, brethren, what we reduce preaching to. Don't you get it? They want everything to go our way in the sermon. That was a really good sermon. You really got after them, and I know you're home in Albert Roach, and everything's lovely. You know, I mean, brethren, this is real life. This is real life we're reading about. We meet people all the time that are just as kind as can be, but they're in sin. And you're going to act like they're okay when you know they're not. How? What kind of friend are you to them? What kind of friend could you possibly be to them if you know they're lost in sin? And you don't say a blessed thing to them. You say nothing. You act like they're all right, and you go along with them and think they're doing it. You say, well, they got the good points. but the points that they need to have, they haven't made. They haven't obeyed God. They don't love the Lord. They don't put Jesus first. Don't you understand who they are? No, they're my friends. You're talking about my friends. I've heard that before. I've used the same argument. That's not how it works. The devil says, I don't care how you take him. Just take him. Get him. And they say, well, it's not like that, dudes. Well, you don't know them. You don't know my friends, how kind they are. You know, I watched a long, long time ago, back in the 80s. I guess I made the mistake of watching Mannequin. I don't know if that was really, I wouldn't recommend you watch that movie, but I thought it was interesting because it was the first movie I ever saw where they actually made a homosexual in the movie, not just palatable, but actually loving. You just were drawn in to Hollywood. You just wanted to be his friend because he's so nice and so kind. And that's how it works, brethren. That's exactly how it works. You may meet or know, and I know I do, homosexuals that are kind and loving, and I don't hate them. Oh, no, not at all. I want them to repent because God hates it. God hates what they're doing. And I love them and want them to come out of that. But I can't teach them the truth. I feel like they're all right. Did you? Can you? No, you can't do it. You think you can. Well, I can do it. I can reach them. But I sure can't reach them by being hateful to them. I'm not being hateful to them. I love them. They need to hear the truth of the gospel. You can't help people see the truth by glossing it over and acting like it doesn't matter. You cannot reach your children by acting like the dollar doesn't really. It's not really. It's just not that important. It just doesn't matter. But brethren, it does matter. You're going to see why it matters so in Jehoshaphat's case. Oh yes, you're going to see it. You're going to see it. Read on a little further with me. So the king said to him, to my God, how many times shall I make you swear that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? Then he said, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each return to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you? This is what the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat. Did I not tell you he would not prophesy good concerning me but evil? Did I tell you that? I don't want to bring him up. I'll hear that. That's something about God because I know what he's going to say. Then Micaiah said, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the hosts of heaven standing on his right hand and his left. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab, king of Israel, to go up that he may fall at Ramoth-Gilead? So one spoke in this manner, another spoke in that manner. And then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said to him, in what way? So he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. Therefore, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of these prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you. Then Zedekiah, the son of Shemaiah, he that went near and struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, which way did the Spirit of the Lord go for me to speak to you? And you know what? When Jesus was before he was crucified, they blindfolded him and they slapped him in the face with their hands and said, prophesy, who hit you? Sound familiar? They mocked Jesus. And you know what? If you stand up for the truth, they're going to mock you. And it's not going to be happy. A lot of us like to have friends just enjoy myself. Why do I have to mess with all this stuff? Because the devil is still there. And he's still working. And he hasn't stopped. And he wants you to be lost. Don't you understand this? Of all people on earth, we ought to understand this. Micaiah said, indeed, you shall see on that day when you go into the inner chamber to hide. And the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and return him to Ahab, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus says the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him with bread of affliction and water of affliction till I return in peace. But Micaiah said, if you ever return in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me. And he said, take heed, all you people. And I know why Micaiah said that. He said, take heed. He said, I don't care what it looks like. Destruction's coming. Destruction is coming. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king, 20th verse says, stay with me. It's only 18th chapter, 2 Chronicles. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I'm going to disguise myself and go into battle, but you put on your robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself and they went into battle. Well, let's see. How much brain does it take, do you think, to let the king dress him like a peasant, you go in with royal robes? But then again, Jehoshaphat didn't seem very bright, did he? Because he was there in the house of Ahab to begin with. What's he doing in the house of Ahab? What in the world? Now the king of Syria had commanded the captains of the chariots who were with him, saying, fight with no one, small or great, but only with the king of Israel. So it was, when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, they said, it is the king of Israel. Therefore they surrounded him to attack, but Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him. And God diverted them from him. You see, God helps foolish people. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. He helps us open our eyes sometimes, see who we're really next, who we're really walking with, who's our friends. We need to wake up, friends, as Christians. But so it was when the captains of the chariot saw that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. Now a certain man drew a bow at random and struck the king of Israel between the joints of his armor. So he said to the driver of the chariot, turn around and take me out of the battle, for I am wounded. And the battle increased that day, and the king of Israel propped himself up in his chariot facing the Syrians until evening. And about the time of sunset, he died. Here's the battle raging all around. And a soldier just takes and fires the arrow. And the arrow just happens to split right between the joints of the armor. Just happens to. And of course, they have bias. The thing about this is that it's not a happenstance. None of these things are. Don't you understand? Now, you said, well, now, didn't you beat up on poor old Jehoshaphat and up on poor old Ahab? No, nobody's going to say poor old Ahab. They're sure going to say poor old Jezebel. I doubt they're going to say that. Well, I hope not anyway. I have yet to find a mother who named her daughter Jezebel, but you never know. You might find somebody who does that. I hope not. But you never know. God, people are. Oh, mercy. Don't you know? So, moving on. It should not be so. In 2 Chronicles 18, and we've well read this through the 34th verse, in the 19th chapter, are you with me? 2 Chronicles 19. Then Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned safely to his house in Jerusalem. Where did he return safely from? House of Ahab. Where did he return safely from? From the battle that he shouldn't have gone to in the first place. Dressed like a king, with the other one dressed like a peasant, so he could be shot. All the things that were wrong, God delivered him out of all of it. And when he comes back, then Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned safely to his house in Jerusalem, and Jehu, the son of Hananiah, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Therefore the wrath of the Lord is upon you. That's why he said that. He said, where have you been and what have you done? Oh, that Jehoshaphat could have seen the future. Oh, that Jehoshaphat could have seen the future. You know what? We have the privilege to see the future. Because the Bible is like a panoramic view where you can see the beginning and the end of things. And when you do, hopefully you're wiser for it and you make the application to yourself. Because it says very plainly in 2 Chronicles, the 21st chapter, we turn to it, please. In 2 Chronicles 21, verse 1 through 7, and Jehoshaphat rested with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. Then Jehoram, his son, reigned in his place. He had brothers, the sons of Jehoshaphat, Azariah and Jehiel, and Zechariah and Azariah, and I can't pronounce all the names, but I'll try. Michael and Stephaneth, and all these were the sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel. Third verse, their father gave them great gifts of silver and gold and precious things with fortified cities in Judah, but he gave the kingdom to Jehoram because he was the firstborn. Now when Jehoram was established over the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself and killed all his brothers with a sword and also others of the princes of Israel. Jehoram was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, just as the house of Ahab had done, for he had the daughter of Ahab as a wife, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. And Jehoshaphat, didn't matter, he made a little deal with old Ahab at one time. He came back after his death and wiped everything out that was good. You don't think that happens today, do you? Do you? Think about it. People make decisions on what they're going to follow and who's going to be their friends. And it eternally decides for a lot of people around them whether they know it or not. My aunt used to say, you know, it's really hard to play with fire and not get burned. And I said, oh, that's just stuff that old people say. As I got older, I got to realize just how true that really was. But I guess you got to get old enough to kind of figure it out, huh? What do you think? Yet the Lord would not destroy the house of David because of the covenant he made with David, and since he had promised to give a lamp to him and to his sons forever. I want you to read on 11 through 15 verses. Moreover, he made high places in the mountains of Judah. And that's not high places for God. That's high places for idolatry. That's what his father had taken down. He put back up. He put Jehoram put it back up. And caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit harlotry and led Judah astray. 11th verse. Led Judah astray. So although Jehoshaphat had lived so right and had such power and so much glory and money and everything else and was safe from Israel, he went back to Israel and made a deal with the devil and destroyed everything. Solomon, with all the wisdom that he had, but his wives led him astray, didn't they? Nehemiah says this, but the whole point of it is this, that because of his choices, Israel went into idolatry not almost, immediately. They were lost, don't you see? He sold them out. Yeah, but oh, how I love Jesus, and I go to church, and I give him my means, and I'm a good Christian. You know, praise a little like the devil. 6 days, well, 6.5 days, actually, because you get a little time in the afternoon, you know, on Sunday. But the thing is, so it doesn't matter, that I mean, does it really matter? Well, I'm a good Christian. Well, what is a good Christian? Can I ask you that question? What is a good Christian? Well, let's see. Christian means Christ-like. That's what it means. And so if you're a Christian, that means you're Christ-like. But that's only when you're in church, though, right? You think that I'm making these things up, but of course I'm not. I knew a man one time who was an elder in the Lord's church. Elder in church, worked in a business. He was very high in a corporation. And I overheard him one day, and he was saying something that wasn't appropriate at all for a Christian to be saying. And I said, what are you saying? He said, you don't understand. He said, when I'm outside those doors, and I'm a church, I'm a Christian, but when I go through those doors, that's business. And that Christian, he stays outside the door. You think? You think that Jesus is going to stand there waiting for you when you go off to the devil and do the things you should not do and go with the people you should not go with, and then you come back, I'm preaching now. I know I am preaching to you. I know I am. Don't you understand this? That you cannot play with fire and not be burned. Don't you understand that you can't argue for Satan and not be part of him? You cannot do those things and think, I don't know what in the world you're thinking. Well, you just shouldn't be talking like that. You know why they talk that way? Because they don't love the Lord. They don't love Jesus. Now listen. Jesus said, you're either for me, you're against me. You gather me, you scatter. That's what Jesus said. And the question is, who are you going to choose in your life? You don't choose Jesus. You don't choose Jesus when it's convenient. You choose Jesus all the time. Because if you don't, you'll be lost. And you'll lose everyone around you. They'll be lost too. You've got to have a commitment to Jesus that nobody else in this world is going to do. Only you and you alone can do it for yourself. I can't do it for you. Honey, I'd do it if I could. I can't do it for you. You've got to do it for yourself. It's a real commitment on your own self. Don't you see? Now let's read a little further. And a letter came to him, that came to Joram from the lines of the prophet, saying, thus says the Lord God of your father David, because you have not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat your father, or in the ways of Asa, king of Judah, that have this 13th verse, and the 21st chapter of 2 Chronicles, that have walked in the way of the kings of Israel, and have made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to play the harlot like the harlotry of the house of Ahab, and also killed your brothers, those of your father's household, who were better than yourself. Behold, the Lord will strike your people with a serious affliction, your children, your wives, and all your possessions, and you will become very sick with a disease in your intestines until your intestines come out by reason of the sickness day by day. Not a very pretty picture. Not a very pretty picture. But I'm going to read it because this is what it says. And in the 18th verse, after all this, the Lord struck him and his intestines with an incurable disease. Then it happened in the course of time, after the end of 2 years, that his intestines came out because of his sickness. So he died in severe pain, and his people made no burning for him like the burning for his fathers. The Ulysses 20th verse. He was 32 years old when he became king. He reigned in Jerusalem 8 years. I think that puts him at 40, didn't it? 40 years old. And to no one's sorrow departed. He did no good in his life. He could have done all the good in the world. He did no good. And in the end, nobody grieved that he was gone. He caused such problems. That's sad, isn't it? He had all the potential in the world to do right. But you know what? I don't know how young he was when his daddy introduced him to the daughter of Jezebel, but it didn't matter. Because somehow Jehoshaphat at a weak moment just didn't trust the Lord to protect him, although he had a million soldiers to protect him. He made a deal with the devil. And brethren, tonight, that's what I'm talking about. We as Christians, whether we realize or not, are making deals with the devil. We're going along, get along with people we shouldn't be good along, go along with. Don't you understand that? We of all people on earth know the truth, and the rest don't. They're in darkness. They walk in darkness. They don't know what the truth is. We know the truth. We know what's right. Why is it not helping somebody else around? Because we're ashamed of it? I'm not ashamed of my Lord. Listen, I'm going to stand and fight with Jesus. And let's put that sweet friend over here. Oh, out here with that. Because after all, I know what's important in my life, and it's not God, it's my friend. Listen up. Listen up. This is exactly what's happening to Christians, and not just young people. This happened. You talk about peer pressure. Now, our preachers say, we need to preach on peer pressure for our young people. For our young people, though, we need to preach on peer pressure for our older people. Because they're just as affected by it as any young person could ever be. The only sad thing is, they ought to know better. One of the grandest things I ever in my life saw in the Lord's church when I was a boy was a couple who I revered. They were an older couple. They were so kind and so nice and so loving. And they were. I'm not kidding you. They would do anything for you. They were wonderful people. And in the course of time, I noticed that they were missing some services. But I said, well, everybody misses some services. What's the big deal there? Everybody misses the services. And but then one Sunday morning, this couple, older couple, they came at the invitation. They came to the front, and everybody's just, what? What are they doing at the front? These guys are great, man. What do you mean? What are they? What could they possibly have done that they'd be down to the front? Listen to their statement. They said when we first started bowling, we enjoyed bowling, and there's nothing wrong with bowling. We knew that. But then we were pretty good bowlers. I mean, that's what they said. And they said, and pretty soon we were part of the league, and we played in the league, and we were winning our league, and pretty soon we had to miss one Wednesday night, and said, well, that's just one. But then all of a sudden we started missing more. But it just was a few. It wasn't our habit. So then we got to realizing that we had sold Jesus out. I'm going to tell you something interesting about this. They repented. We prayed for them. You know what the brothers said all around them? I heard them as a boy. They said, well, it really wasn't that bad. It really wasn't that bad. But to them it was. You know why it was? Because they loved the Lord. And they let something get in the way of serving Him. And it worries me sometimes, brethren, that our heart is not tender this way. And it ought to be. That because we're making deals with the devil, brethren, and we're walking with Ahab, and we don't even know it. Wake up. Wake up. Don't you see it? Can't you see it? Jesus died for your sins. He loved you. He loved you when you weren't very lovable. He loved sinners. Well, they didn't deserve to be saved, but He died for them anyway. So they'd have a chance, a place to stand, a place to do right in the face of Satan and what Satan's doing to the human race and what he's done all along. He has given you a place to stand. Put on the whole armor of God, brethren. That's what Paul said. Made it clear. Made it plain. We read that already. I'll get ahead of myself. Be not. Well, John, you let me put that up there. I just thought. 1 Corinthians 15:33, you know, evil companionship corrupts good morals. Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans 12:21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And that's exactly what it means. It doesn't mean that it takes advantage. It means that you go along with it. Don't be overcome by evil, overcome evil with good. Do the right thing. Do the right thing, Christian friend, because you know the right thing to do. Don't go along with the devil. Don't go along with what's wrong. You're the light of the world, Jesus said. You're the light of the world, Matthew 5:14-16. We ought to be the bright and shining light in this world. That's who we are. Who else is going to shine? Who else is going to speak out and say the truth? If we don't, who will? Who will? Are you different from the world? Listen up. 1 Peter 1, turn over the New Testament. In 1 Peter 1:13-21, and I just hear somebody say, we seen heard about Jehoshaphat and Ahab. I don't get that. What that's all about, you know. You know why they don't get it? Because they don't think it's real. That's why. They don't get it because they don't think it's real. And it's just as real as you're sitting in that pew and listening to me talk. It's just that real. And the devil trying to seduce you and get you is just as real as us being here in this place. He does it, and he does it very effectively. He's a liar. 1 Peter, the first chapter, the 13th through 21st verses, therefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that has been brought to you and the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the form of lust, as in your ignorance, but as he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was well foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. But you know what? You know what? James 1:22 says, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Let me tell you something. You couldn't find a Christian who's deceived himself more than me. I promise you. I've been in places where I should not have been when I was a Christian. I knew better. And every moment I was there, I think, what if Jesus came back? But then I looked outside and there weren't any clouds, so I was safe. Because after all, he didn't come in clouds, right? You see how silly that is? But hey, if you're looking for something silly to do wrong, you'll just grab on to just anything. Well, I mean, he's not going to come in the clouds. There's any clouds up there. Of course, up above, well, I can't see, there are clouds. So, you know, I didn't know that. I was in trouble. But that's kind of how that works out. Our Bible study must be more than an academic approach to the Scriptures. You know that? That's what we've got, brother. People don't see it. They really don't see Jehoshaphat the way they ought to see him, the way we've just seen him tonight. Not as a real bad guy. God loves him. God bless him. Well, yeah, he made a couple of mistakes. Yeah, just a couple. Just a couple of mistakes. He put his trust in a man who hated God. He, in fact, helped those. He helped the wicked, and he loved those who hated the Lord. And he said he loved, well, your people, my people, we all do it. That's what he told Ahab. You heard it yourself. Brethren, we must make the application of Jehoshaphat and Ahab's house to ourselves today. We need to know that 1 Corinthians 10 and 11, which it says, upon whom the ends of the ages have come, these are written as an admonition, as a warning, right? Written as a warning. Our Bible study must be more than an academic approach to Scripture. Why did I write that? Because that's all it is to people. The Bible study is just an academic study. It's not an application study. It's an academic study. How nice. You can recite the entire genealogy of Christ. My hat's off to you. That's great. But do you know who these guys were in his genealogy? Did you know that some of these guys, just guys we just read about? Do you know who they are? Listen, do you know what they were about? There's no ecumenical approaches to the Scriptures. That shouldn't be tolerated by Christians. That's ridiculous. Well, as long as everybody gets along, go along, get along, everything will be all right. We'll be all right. Turn to Philippians, the third chapter, and read with me the 17th through 19th verses as a closing. And I think you'll see what we're talking about tonight. The Apostle Paul made this very clear. And he made it clear that the Philippian church was a good church, good Christians, good faithful Christians. That's Philippians 3, verse 17 through 19. And here's what it says. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Are you ready to meet Jesus? If you're living like the devil, you're not ready to meet Jesus. Because if you met him tonight and you're living like the devil, or you're giving the devil credence, or you're going along with the devil, you won't be saved. I'm going to tell you, you're not going to be saved. You're going to be in the devil's hell. Are you listening? You're going to burn eternally, forever and ever and ever, and you're never going to come out of that place. Don't you understand this? This is not a joke. This isn't anyone laughing. This is the way it's going to be. You know the truth, and people in the world do not know the truth. And because they don't know the truth, they're going to make the wrong decisions, which makes the devil happy, of course, but they're going to be lost. They're not going to find out. And you know, people say, you know, but it's going to fall to lost. No, it's not. Oh, no, it's not. God wish for all, for men to perish, for all to come to repentance. God wish for all men to be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. Are you listening? That's God's wishes. But you know how His wishes are accomplished? Through you. Through you and you and you. That's how it happens. Because you live right, they see you living right, and they have a hope. And if you give yourself over to the devil, and that which pleases you instead of what pleases God, then their hope is gone. And the very ones you're arguing and blaming God for are the very ones that you cause to be lost. Are you listening? That's exactly what this is about. It's about influence, brethren. It's about influence. And we need to get serious about this because the Apostle Paul, he said, I have told you often, I've told you time and time again that these people are like this. And that if you live like the devil, you're going to go to hell with them. And that's what he's saying. I know what he's saying. Do you know what he's saying? Tonight, if you're not a New Testament Christian, you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Believe in Jesus to be the Son of God. Are you ready to repent? Are you ready to turn to the way of life that you're living and live for yourself no more, but live for Jesus and put Jesus first in your life as a Christian? Then if you're ready to do that, are you ready to confess Him as the Son of God with your mouth this very night and to be buried in water baptism for the remission of your sins, that you may be raised to walk in newness of life? Jesus will add you to His church. You'll be a New Testament Christian and you will join the army of the Lord. Well, I'm not into joining anything, really. I just kind of like sit on the sidelines. No. There's no sideline Christians in the army of the Lord. You just mark it down. You may think that's the way it is, but it's not. Well, I don't know that much. Well, why don't you? Jesus died so you could know something. How do you tell me that? You need to learn. Let's study. Let's make some application. Are you ready to meet Jesus? I hope that you are, my friend, because I've said all these things not to be hateful, nor to be funny or anything like that. I've said them because they are the words of life. And without these words, you'll be lost. Don't be lost. Come while we stand and while we sing.